Okay, a caller says people don't care and will never pay a TV licence again. RTE's doomed. Get it off the air. It's a government TV station. That might be your view, and it is your view, not might be your view. But all that being you may have actually what is going to happen effectively is that you're going to end up having no choice but to pay it. Good morning, Greg. All I love everything about Donegal: the breathtaking scenery, the choices of places to visit and things to do, the people, of course, and Highland Radio. It's an amazing county stretching from the west to the east coast across the top of Ireland. My favourite song is Las Vegas in the hills of Donegal by Mike Denver. So please, please play Mike singing it. Thanks, Greg. Have a good day. Safe home from Mary, Catherine and Andrea. Nice to have you on board, ladies. Greg, I had an auntie who's no longer with us, but she lived in Chicago. Often when she was homesick, she would play My Donegal Shore by Daniel O'Donnell. It always reminds me of her and all the memories associated with her when she would visit us. It goes to show, no matter how far we are or how far away we are, people will always be in your heart. No place like home. I hope she's watching down on us, and I'm absolutely sure she is. And there are a couple of leaders at the moment for our Donegal song, which our listeners feel represent them. One of them is My Donegal Shore, and the other is, let me see, I had it here. The Hills of Donegal? No, it's not. What was it called again? Oh, I have it here in front of me. Homes of Donegal. Yeah, that's the other one. Back Home to Donegal, Mick Flavin, written by Patsy Kavanagh. Beautiful song. Great show, Greg. Thanks, Philomena. Patsy Kavanagh and Lights of London has to be the Donegal anthem. Keep them coming into us so we can get a consensus. Love Donegal. Love everything about the county. The scenery, the mountains, the amazing friendly people. Most of all, the feeling of belonging to something special in being from Donegal. We're so proud to be from this special place. Great show as always, Greg. Any Donegal song by Daniel O'Donnell from Donna in Dunloe. Paul Brady's Homes of Donegal. Now, I am not going to be able to maybe in some of these songs get into the specifics of artists because that can be really quite tough. But anyway. Right, let's see. What should we do? We'll go straight into the garden, will we? Because we have Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballagher Garden Centre joining us. How are you getting on?
Not so bad, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. Right, happy Donegal Day to you.
Happy Donegal Day.
I am wearing my Donegal crest.
Excellent.
You're wearing a Jurassic Park T-shirt.
Yes, but I carry them all the time.
Oh, yes. Very good. Okay.
We have an Errigal tattoo and a Muckish tattoo.
Bit of ink.
Yes.
That's a nice one, actually. Very good.
I'm never going to finish because of COVID.
What's going to be around the Lost Salt Mountain?
Yeah. Okay.
That's around the back.
Yes.
All right, very good. You're going to have to get it quick, done soon.
Absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. No, I mean, that's loving Donegal wearing it on you. Right, okay, we're back in seasonal weather now, and that week we had sort of threw a spanner in the works for us as well, I suppose in a good way for many, and in nature's way as well.
Pretty much. Funny is what I got. It was a real sort of unexpected to be as good as it was, basically. So it was real heat and all that, but it was that nice to get, so it was now.
Yeah.
So it was.
And just give us that last we flourished.
Exactly.
Because as I said yesterday, by the end of this month, sunset and sunrise will be in and around 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 12-hour of sunlight. But I think the nights drawing in will really bring home the fact we're heading into autumn again.
Yeah.
But there's still lots to be done. Continuing to tidy up the beds. Mm-hmm. Layer of mulch.
Yes, layer of mulch helps this time of year. It just keeps it fed and sort of keeps everything looking tidy as much as anything else. So it just keeps the weeds down as well.
Yeah.
So it does. And now's a good time to give a wee sort of the beds a wee trim back and any gaps maybe fill it in with some new plants. It's a good time to be planting new stuff.
And of course, too, with an eye on spring, no sooner will it be Halloween than it will be Christmas and then it will be spring.
Absolutely.
Now's the time to be planning for that as well.
Yes, very much. Now is the time for your spring bulbs. So it is sort of, you see the shops and garden centres at the moment starting to get fold on them. Very good plants for, very easy to grow, pretty much throw them in the ground, forget about them, and up to come in the springtime. Absolutely.
So you do the bit of effort now towards the end of the summer and then you get this lovely surprise then come spring.
Yeah, exactly. Outdoors in the ground or in pots.
Yeah.
Works perfectly, so it does. And very good value for money. Like, you won't get a sort of as good a flower at that time of year for as cheap as the bulbs.
Yeah,
a wee bit
of,
like I say, not a while out of work to them, just throw them in.
It's just a bit of planning, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Speaking of pots, is it time now to give up on our summer flowers and maybe if either retire them or think about what to plant for winter?
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of them are still going. You see the sort of towns there, like I was in Bonkranna yesterday and even Letterkenny, the towns are still looking amazing with all the flowers.
Yeah.
So they are. So a lot of them still going. if they are starting to flag a bit, sort of that good week actually brought them, sort of spurred them back into life a bit. But no, if they are starting to flag a bit on you, their stuff's kind of, the winter stuff's coming available now in garden centres and stuff. So if you wanted to redo round the door, basically, now's the time.
And they can still look pretty with a bit of colour.
Absolutely. You won't get the same sort of show as you would for the summer. Of course not, yeah. But you will get actually, they can be lovely looking. So over the more depressing winter months.
Stay with pots, if they're on the ground, you want to be lifting them up now, do you?
Pretty much from now on, it's a good idea. Sometimes the sort of drainage holes in the bottom can get blocked, sort of wee sort of just dirt on the ground and stuff like that. So it's a good idea at this time of year to actually raise them up just an inch or so. Even you get sort of specific pot feet for the job, but if you haven't got them, just any wee bits of timber at all, anything just to raise them up a wee bit to allow the water to drain out of them more easily.
Now, for those lucky enough to have a lawn that probably have one eye on maybe the last cut of the year, but in terms of maintenance, what should people be doing now?
Pretty much just maintain the cutting and see how you get on. It should still be growing, still quite mild there, so it should be growing quite well. I noticed yesterday the leaves are sort of starting to turn, starting to come down a wee bit. So just every couple of weeks, if you go out and just rake the leaves off them, it'll sort of stop moss building up on
the problem with the lawns now, though, is whilst there's still growth, it's harder to find a window, particularly if you've got like a domestic lawnmower whereby the grass is, you know, dry, that it's not a complete torture.
Exactly. Now, it gets tougher to mow at this time of year because it's just, you don't get them that amount of dry days, and it's very hard to collect, basically, yeah.
All right. And what about keeping the lawn clear of leaves and all to prevent the moss, but what about feeding the lawn for next year?
Feeding the lawn. Now, at this time of year, you can use sort of a more low nitrogen fertilizer. You get autumn blends for this time of year, but what it does, it actually builds up the strength of the grass without growing it on too much. So it's actually, we'll just keep it green over the winter months.
I get you. By the way, just keep your calls coming into us if you want to ask Paul a question. 086 60 25 000, WhatsApp or text, or if you want to actually ask him it yourself, 07491 25 000. In terms of the trends, you know, we do go through trends from plants and what have you. So what's in trend at the moment? And is this for the autumn winter season or heading in towards the spring and summer of next year?
Pretty much autumn winter. Sort of, it's, gardens can be very fashionable. Sort of, you look to like the Chelsea Flower Show and that for what's going to be coming for the next year or two. Very much in fashion would be grasses. They sort of had been out of fashion for a while, but they seem to be coming back in now in a big way. The sort of like fluffier grasses and that. Autumn plants, you always get the dahlias are always popular. So they are, and you get big flowery plants like that. Them and the rubeckia, the black-eyed Susan, very popular at this time of year. So they are just for that wee bit of autumn colour.
All right, and we were talking earlier on about planting your spring bulbs. If you have a veg patch or you want to establish one, what would you need to be looking at now in terms of, you know, for crops that will flourish over the winter or
stuff that goes well over the winter. Sort of there's members of the cabbage family you can stick in now. Now's perfect time for putting in your onions and garlic. Would be good, and you'll have a good sort of early march on them in the spring. And even peas and beans work quite well this time of year.
All right, so if you get them in now again and you plant your spring bulbs over spring, your onion, your garlic, your peas, your beans, and then your flowers all start to welcome you into the
late spring, early summer. You should be sort of starting your harvest almost, and then you can plant more in the springtime and you have a more continuous supply, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd love to know when to prune my 3-year-old pear tree. It has got very tall and leggy. Mm-hmm. It's still got a few pears that aren't ripe yet.
Yes, I would leave it at the stage until you sort of take the pears off it. And even you can leave it until it actually, the leaves come off as well. Then you get a better idea of the framework of the tree. So pretty much from 3 years old now, you could actually be pruning from now on.
But wait till the fruit has...
I would wait till the leaves come off it almost. It just gives you a better idea. You can see the sort of structure of the tree. And sort of, if you Google it, even there are a few different good examples of how you prune them, basically.
What's the best time to plant a hawthorn tree?
Hawthorn tree, you can plant what you call... Hawthorn trees generally are available sort of in what's known as the bare root season, which tends to be... There's no exact date for it because it's after the first hard frost. But generally, you're looking from the 1st of December to about the 1st of April.
And when's the earliest you can move roses?
Once again, same thing. More or less, it's in that bare root season where the plant's dormant. You can actually dig them up and move them at that stage. So generally, like I say, the dates aren't exact, but generally around the 1st of December to about the 1st of April.
How do you treat white mildew in a climber rose organically, if possible? I know you tend to generally, if you can, favour the organic approach.
Yes, the Duet climbing rose, unfortunately, climbing rose have actually been affected badly with it this year. I think it has to do with the plant drying out earlier on in the year, which sort of the dry spell we had earlier on in the summer probably is resulting, just manifesting itself now almost. But the best thing to do with it would be now coming into whenever it's finished flowering is give it a good hard cut back. And actually remove all the infected branches and leaves and take them away. Don't put them in your compost heap or anything. Just take them away and dispose of them far from the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do it during the growing season when the leaves are done, they reckon skim milk is quite good at actually spraying on skim milk is good at actually getting rid of mildew on a lot of plants, especially in power tunnels and stuff like
that. I'd love to know how someone figured that out. Greg, would you mind asking Paul where I could buy snowdrop bulbs?
Snowdrops, Balladair Garden Centre would be my first choice. So it would be, but generally any garden centre around would have them. We have them down there at the minute, all right.
Yeah, and why are they called so? What kind of plant are they?
Snowdrops, know the wee sort of spring bulb, sort of the first out.
Right, okay.
Basically, like whenever you have a big mass of them, just, it looks like white in the ground, like snow.
What do you do with yellow patches on the lawn after mowing it? Is it moss? Should I rake it? And then what should I do? Green Finger Jerry message that one in. Yellow Finger Jerry at the moment.
But generally, it can be a number of problems causing that. It could be sort of, it could be moss, and probably the most likely one, all right. If you would sort of otherwise, sometimes someone like leather jackets, that can be a problem as well. But the best thing to do would be give it a light rake at this time of year. Remove any moss, any debris on it, and give it a good feed. With autumn
Would you trim a holly or just not cut it down?
I think that's coming back to me superstitions.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it does. No, generally, a wee trim wouldn't be so bad. So it would, but no, definitely
wouldn't risk
be
that either. Yeah. Maybe it's just to being in autumn, but how do I get rid of slugs and snails in my garden? I hate them, Paul. I hate them.
Yes, slugs and snails at the minute, probably vigilance is the one. Sort of remove them as you see them, but some people can't hack that in terms of the squeamish nature of it. Once you get to do it organically, you'd be chatting. Probably your beer traps, your milk traps would be quite good in terms of just put bury a saucer around the plant, and hopefully they'll be attracted to the scent of the beer or the milk and fall in. And
it's not really, that's just like you can't, taking them out of the situation.
Pretty much, you can get organic pellets to kill them as well. They wouldn't be as bad as the old toxic chemicals you used to get. They just work on drying them out. But some people are, pretty much they're certified organic, so they should be perfect.
Donna Marie, can you come in? I'd put that, it's in the bottom of that box somewhere. I'll never find it. Thank you. No matter how much I cut back my wisteria, it goes on the rampage. Any advice? Probably very near the bottom.
Wisteria, first of all, lucky you. A lot of people, wisteria can be quite hard to grow in Donegal, and a lot of people would be only too delighted to have that problem. But in general, wisteria is it's a climbing plant, so it can be quite vigorous whenever it gets established.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, we sort of light trim in spring, not too late because you're at risk of cutting off the flowers, basically. And after the plant is finished flowering, give it a good hard cut back.
Yeah, okay. What is it you like about Donegal or love about Donegal, Paul?
I suppose we're very lucky in terms of I do a lot of deliveries around the place and you're getting to see lovely spots every so often. So you are, and just the scenery in general.
It is just nice. I mean, obviously you're doing it for work. It's nice if you get the space actually just to take off.
Yes.
And explore.
Aye.
Because you never know where you might end up, do you?
Yeah. Funny, I was actually, Sunday I was down Maharoti there and looked out the window where we were staying there, and a big massive stag just sitting out in the front garden. I know a lot of people wouldn't like that particularly.
You know, I know, but it's funny, the stags, we have a funny relationship with them because a lot of people leave the deer alone and you know, better signposting or better fencing or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean? I think we do have a love of the deer.
I'd say maybe for town folk like me, seeing them sort of a novelty. If you're looking at them every day, maybe it's a different story.
Yeah, perhaps. All right, thanks very much, Donna Marie. Right, okay. To celebrate Love Donegal Day, where is it? Okay, we have a €50 voucher to give away and a second place mug and T-shirt. The €50 voucher is thanks to you guys at Balladair Garden Centre.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
That's
you get a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You get a lot of stuff for €50. All right,
that's all part of our Love Donegal Day. We also have mugs and T-shirts to go along with that as well. So we've upgraded our first prize. So send us what you love about Donegal. Send us to what song you associated with Donegal. Our prize package is a lovely Highland T-shirt, 9 till noon show mug, and a €50 voucher thanks to our friends at Balladair. You can fill your boots with that. They're just down the road from us here. And also we'll have another prize of a mug and a t-shirt as well. So thanks to you, Paul. Thanks to the crew at Ballacdur Garden Centre. And we'll chat again soon. Thank you.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, okay. Back with more in the 9 till noon show after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Listener says, Greg, do you know if the installation of the ESB smart meters affects the TV signals? Ever since they were installed in the Carndonna area, no picture on Serview. Now, there's been claims of that. The claims are that it does interfere with those signals. But according to those responsible for installing them, it doesn't. But then again, they say that your phones aren't listening to you as well. So I don't know. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper. My Donegal by Daniel O'Donnell always makes me emotional for my hometown in Donegal. I love the area around Dunloe, especially hometown. I think, Dan, unless there's a big rush on something else, My Donegal Home by Daniel O'Donnell is the clear favourite at the moment. RTE has overpaid broadcasters. It's a total joke. When Pat Kenny was there, he got €400,000 a year, for God's sakes, they say. A lot of money, isn't it? The reason the RTE saga is being drawn out is that they have a lot of information about government involvement with how we get fed propaganda, and RTE could leak to the public what kind of pressure was put on when they said the government wanted to show the public what they would not that they would not interfere. Look, at, I mean, I'm not really quite sure about that, and I respect your point of view, and that is your point of view, but everyone knows the way it works. You know, you don't have, there's no conspiracy there. It's there in front of you, who gets good interviews, who gets soft interviews, who gets hard interviews, and what kind of stuff's put out there, and the angle that's taken. I don't think there's any, I don't know what could be revealed in that regard. Enjoying your show. Love Donegal. Daniel O'Donnell has a beautiful song, not sure of the name, but it has the words, "My little piece of heaven." My Donegal, my favourite place in the world, is Muckross. That comes in from Caitlin Slowey in Ardra. And Caitlin, actually, you are in a beautiful part of Donegal yourself, Ardra, and the drive into it, beautiful. Greg, Primetime referenced Highland Radio, that you didn't get any funding from the licence fee, which we don't. You do. There is a small pot that goes around as it relates to some additional programming. I'm not sure exactly of the figures, but as I say, it's not in any way a funding from the licence fee. RTE gets 270 million. I think it was a fraction of that split amongst 40 broadcasters or something, so you can work that out yourself. My Homes, The Homes of Donegal by Johnny McAvoy. That comes in from Kathleen Cole in Sesha in Fannad. Thanks very much for that. I love Donegal because of the beaches, mountains, sunsets and blue skies. Happy Love Donegal Day. Tracy Lynch, thank you so much. And the flip side of it, it just comes in after that. Love Donegal, it's fantastic. 179.8 for diesel. This is madness. It is madness. And it's only going to go up again, it seems. A lot of what we're seeing in terms of increase over the last wee while has been government returning excise onto the fuel, which is putting people under an awful lot of pressure. It's amazing how your fill of a tank can go from like 75 to 95. Do you know what I mean? We talk about litres and... Now, I know most people don't fill the tank, but it's when you do that you really see how expensive it has become. Right, 086 60 25,000. It's been a really busy day on the phones, and we really do appreciate it. That's open to you for all of the conversations we're having today, whether you want to enter our Love Donegal competition. And you can call us as well, by the way. I know some of you don't text, 074 91 25,000, or if you just want to keep the conversation going with us on other topics, the lines are open for that as well. Right, Greg, I'm an elderly person, an elderly man living near St. Johnston. I'm greatly upset with the amount of potholes outside my home. I have two grandchildren who, like most young ones, love adventure and play, but with the rate of the cars and the danger of the potholes, they can no longer play outside. I had a fence put up, but this also fell down due to the state of the road. I contacted the council recently, 4 months ago, and they told me they would be out to me that Friday. Never heard or saw from them since. They ignore my calls, emails, even go up to the yard as it's close by, but I'm told someone will come out. I understand they're extremely busy, but I'm scared of an accident happening outside my home. And an elderly man, my garden is also now filled with stones. I am just disappointed and worry, especially for my children and my grandchildren. Now, we have made our inquiries in relation to that. And I think you also have a local representative that's talking about that. All right, Liam, Majin Wai, how are you
Hello.
Keeping?
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I'm keeping fine. It's a beautiful day here in Buncrana.
And you're a very proud Buncrana man, Liam.
I have to say, I'm a very proud Buncrana man. It's a town that I left it for a number of years, but I've returned in recent years, and I've found a wonderful town to live in. There's so much good going on in this town. I recently held coffee mornings for charities, and one was for the earthquake in Turkey, Syria, way back, and we realised €8,000. Great generosity in the town, and I had one recently there for diabetes, and that raised $1,500. And you know, the people are very kind, I find, and generous. No problem getting any support, either by offering a spot prize or a draw, or any, and supporting the day itself, the coffee morning. But in general run of things, people are quite friendly, you know, chatty, good-humoured. There's quite a number of people from outside the town living in the town, and I sense from them that they love living here, and they love the interaction they have with the local people and so on. And there's a happy spirit, really, generally in the town.
So that's the town, that's the people. In and around Buncrana, what do you like to do? Where do you like to go?
Well, I do a lot of, I've been involved in a lot of groups here in Buncrana. I'm involved in a swimming group, and I'm involved in a rambling group, and I'm involved in a wildlife group, and a running group. So much you could take part in here in Buncrana. I'm involved in all those groups. And I find myself very busy. And I love the swimming in particular. We have lovely beaches around here. We have a lovely beach at Dead's Point where a group of us go in swimming practically every day throughout the year. The Point Swimmers are called. And there's also the Swilly Swimmers. And it's very lovely to swim there. And you can dive off the little pier that's there, the promontory that goes out. Very pleasant. And then there's a lovely little beach further on called Portaw, which is a lovely place to lie down in if you want to sunbathe. I would call it my heaven, and a lot of people would agree with me.
It's better than Spain, you say?
Like living is even better, I think. So if you get a nice day, it's generally very quiet, but when the weather improves, crowds come, not many crowds, it's never that crowded.
Mm.
And there's a bigger beach further on called Strigil Beach, and people come there too. And then there's more beaches further on out, Linsford Beach, Leenan Beach. There's no want of lovely beaches nearby. And so it's just a lovely place to live. And people walk out by Hegarty's Rock, which is a very, very popular place to walk to as well around here.
Mm-hmm. And you have Swan Park as well, and a huge investment going into Buncrana as well.
Huge investment is going into Buncrana. That's a beautiful park, Swan Park. It's a very family-friendly park. Families can go there and enjoy the park, especially on a good people fish in the river. It was a marvellous job that was done recently with Swan Park. Tremendous gardening work done there by the town gardener. It really looks very, very nice. Lovely park. Lovely, lovely park. And it's the whole area around there is very nice, you know.
All
and
right.
Even, so we don't have anything, you know. We're not lacking in scenery or in facilities, you know, outside.
Well, it's clear you are an incredibly proud Buncrana man, and we appreciate you coming on and spreading the love, Liam.
Oh, thanks.
All right,
thanks,
take care
Greg.
Of yourself.
Thank you
You've
very much.
Sold it big time. It is a beautiful part of the world. More of them coming in here. Love Donegal. Donegal is the best county. It's people, places and things to do. Bird watching, canoeing, cinema, theatre, shopping, great garden centres and swimming, snorkelling on our beautiful beaches. Snorkelling indeed, yeah. Donegal's the nicest place in the world. Glenveagh is our favourite place to be. Indeed, I'm a recent, relatively recent, last few years visiting Glenveagh. Beautiful, love the staff out there too. I love Donegal because of the way we do our wakes and funerals. When someone we love passes away, it's so friendly and warm. We support one another in time of need and are always there for one another. That comes in from Josie. And Josie, that's a really good point, you know. And sometimes I think the way we do things, we presume it's done the same everywhere, but not always. And I think particularly we are there for each other. Molly says, my hometown Remelton, nowhere like it. And if anyone's visiting, there's Johnny's Ranch. It's a must. Fish and chips to die for. You'll be glad you paid Johnny's a visit and you'll get the personal touch. That comes in from Molly, who might be Johnny. I don't know. But anyway, it's a great ad for the place. Bobby Narn, beach, heaven on earth. And Mary says also Arranmore, all beautiful places. All right.
Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086-60-25000.
Now, last week we spoke to Grania, who went through an awful experience with her husband. Her husband is really quite ill with cancer, and they made the trip from the west of the county into Letterkenny University Hospital with the expectation, I suppose, that they would spend maybe a short time in ED and then be moved to the oncology ward. But that didn't happen. And they had to leave, even though they were said you could wait in the car. But that wasn't suitable because her husband, Michael, I believe it was, was in so much pain. So they returned home, and then he had to then return by ambulance a few short hours later. Another prolonged wait before being put into a what seemed like a children's bed, and eventually got a bed on a ward. And it went on and on and on. Right, so we got in contact with Celta, who over two paragraphs said they can't comment on individual cases. We understand that. But it says, Letterkenny University Hospital deep regrets that any patient has to wait a long time in the emergency department. Like hospitals around the country, we are extremely challenged by a sustained increase in demand and a lack of available beds. The ED continues to be extremely busy with high numbers of patients attending, many of whom present with complex needs requiring admission. ED patients are waiting a long time to be admitted to a bed, and we apologise to patients and their families for the upset this is causing. It's not just upset, but okay. Patient safety, they say, is at the forefront of everything we do, and staff prioritise to ensure critical needs are met. We regret that any patient has experienced long wait times. Every effort is being made to discharge patients who are ready to go home so that beds will become available for patients who need to be admitted at the earliest opportunity. LUH introduced an acute oncology services in February 2021 with the appointment of a clinical nurse specialist. The service is available Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30. Unfortunately, this service is not currently available out of hours. Patients who are actively on cancer treatment are given the alert card with the contact details, with the mobile number bleep for the acute oncology clinical nurse specialist, and advised to call if they are unwell. Out of hours service patients are advised to contact the inpatient ward. This service can help with admission avoidance with early interventions, but if patients are unwell and need to be assessed, they may still require a visit to the ED for this. It's just amazing that, like, that we have, you know, specialist nurses, but if you get sick, and they're doing great work, it's not their fault, but it has to be sort of Monday to Friday between 8 a.m. to 5:30. And then, yes, you get this card, but the two or three people I've spoke to about this card, they still ended up long waits in the ED. So I'm sorry, Grania, that's not a satisfactory answer. And we've even got past the point now where we pretend there isn't a problem. There is a problem, and it's just the way it is. All right. Eamon is from Donegal here. He joins us on the programme now. Hi, Eamon. How are you getting on? Eamon, are you there?
Hello, yes. Hello.
Yes, you are there. Right,
yes,
okay.
Hello, sorry, yes.
You recently expressed your views as it relates to comments made by Roisin Murphy. She was talking about her disquiet with the use of puberty blockers being prescribed to children who are confused about their gender. She's effectively apologised for those comments now, but still is... I think her songs have been banned from the BBC and others.
Yeah.
Are you backing her? Do you agree with her? Do you disagree?
Well, I do. Well, first of all, can I say, can I thank Donna Marie for contacting me to appear on the show, you know, the other day. I do. The reason I'm sort of agree with her is because I do. We have a right to express our opinion, you know, in public. Now, I mean, there's lots of people's opinions personally that I probably wouldn't agree with, but I do believe people have the right to express their opinion. Now, there obviously is some caveat to that. I mean, you'd condone somebody that was, say, inciting violence or something like that. But in general, the principle of it, I would, yes. But the reason I'm I was looking up about gender identity and stuff like that, and basically, can I discuss a bit about it, or is that okay? Or because I have studies and stuff, is that okay to mention?
Suppose it just has to be in the context of Eamon, and this is a platform where people express their opinions. In the context that we already understand that the Irish government now is reviewing the use of puberty blockers, and in fact is going to go back the way in terms of their availability. Ahead.
Well, I mean, yes, sorry, Greg. Well, just for your viewers, I mean, any child presenting with gender identity obviously goes to their GP. Generally speaking, they're referred on to CAMHS or, you know, to be assessed. But there is no gender identity clinic in Ireland. Now, the only gender identity clinic in the UK is in a place called Tavistock.
That's closed
now. Tavistock, yes.
That's closed.
Well, it's
though,
not
isn't it?
Closed yet, but okay. yes, it is in the process of closing. Mm-hmm. But my point is, that there were serious concerns expressed to the HSE in 2019 about the service in Tavistock that Irish patients are referred to, you know. Now, basically, there was people mightn't, you know this because it wasn't really, it was mentioned in the news, but it wasn't, you know, mentioned too much. But basically, there was an independent review of this clinic. Now, this clinic in Tavistock is NHS run, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's the only NHS clinic at the minute in England. There is another two clinics in the process of being set up, but from the latest information I have, it should probably be next year before they're open. But anyways, there was an independent review done on this place, this Tavistock clinic, by a Dr. Hilary Cass, who was basically, there was issues reported to the HSE from a Dr. Moran in 2019, and basically the issues he was reporting on were verified in this report. Now, some of the issues that in it was basically, well, they were understaffed because they only had the one clinic. That's, I suppose, fair enough. But there was issues over, like, basically it was a whistleblower in the organisation that caused it to be investigated in the first place. But there was issues like, you know, like the staff couldn't question any child that was basically referred. You know, they were put on a pathway to maybe puberty blockers or you know, further down the line, maybe gender surgery. But it was the ethos in the place that that it wasn't, they weren't making clinical decisions based on sound evidence. Now, that is verified, if I could just maybe make a quick point, that is verified by this Dr. Cass in her report, you know, her interim report. And basically it says the current model of care was leaving young people at considerable risk of poor mental health and distress. And it goes on to say that the decision making, which I've been discussing, there was inconclusive evidence to back some clinical decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, not them all, but some of them. So that is actually in a report, and I mean, anybody can read that report, yep. It's online. But the point I'm making really is that, yes, everybody is entitled to their opinion, but this, in a way, goes more than opinion because it's actually fact-based.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why it's closing down in March of next year.
It's in March next year, that's correct, yeah.
It was delayed.
And I think the plan is to have two
regional
clinics
hubs.
Run then, you know? Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, getting back to Roisin Murphy, I mean, like, everybody is entitled to their opinion, but, like, she was trolled on Facebook and social media and different things, and quite a lot of vile abuse being thrown at her, you know. Like, I mean, I would defend anybody's right to freedom of speech, you know, but obviously, as I said in the beginning, there is caveats. There is stuff you can't, you know.
Like, Eamon,
you know?
There was a post put up today by one of the girls that was involved in...
Was it a girl called Kira?
One of the girls that, that represented us in the 4x100 or 4x400 metres. A lot of the comments from people purporting to be men were sexual in nature. You know, she was talking about her career, really quite vile sexual comments, comments about the colour of her legs and all that type of stuff. I just think for anyone, if you comment anything, even about a wonderful career or a wonderful season as an athlete, it seems that you are going to get vile abuse, unfortunately. Do you know what I mean?
So, I do, but I mean, in the, yes, Greg, I 100% agree with you, definitely. But, I mean, in the main, provided you're not inciting hatred or violence or things like that, which I would condone, but in the main, anybody's opinion, it should be sort of respected because it is your opinion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's you know. But then, like, another issue with this Tavistock clinic, as we were discussing, is in the process of closing down, is that there was a very large percentage. Now, this was referred to the HSE in 2019. The whistleblower and the BBC investigation was in 2020. So there has been concerns, you know, quite a long time about it. But what you call it, basically it was saying that there was a 90% of the recent referrals to it, there's been a 90% of the referrals are children who are on the autistic spectrum disorder. Now, to me, just to give you a bit of background, Greg, I'm a disability nurse myself and I've nearly 30 years experience as a disability nurse. Now, I would have sort of had my suspicions around this because of the work I do and, you know, things I would have heard. But, I mean, alarm bells should really ring there, in my opinion, that if 90% of the children being referred have autistic spectrum disorder, surely there's something, you know, there's something. Now, that was reported in GRIPT. Now, for viewers, GRIPT is a very conservative type news organisation. So I did a bit more digging, and basically in that CAS review, she mentions it too. Now, she doesn't give a percentage, this doctor, but she does say there is a high volume of people presenting with autistic spectrum disorder. Now, you know, so it is verified in two reports. You know, one, as I said, I mean, GRIPS is quite a conservative, you know, organisation.
Well, it has. GRIPS has no more than some might argue RTE or whatever. GRIPT has its editorial policies, and it doesn't stray from them. I mean, it is anti ideology, anti puberty blockers. Do you know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying, listen, that's not a criticism because that's a point of view, but that's what it is. But the thing about it is, Eamon, because we could find ourselves eating into the time very quickly here, and you're making very good points eloquently as well. The issue, though, sometimes with someone like Roisin Murphy is, or any of us for that matter, your conversation, your statements have been evidence-backed. They've been nuanced, right? And what have you. What Roisin Murphy, the mistake she made perhaps, especially someone with it, or particularly someone with a platform, she jumped in with both feet first, effectively, and didn't sort of articulate a point like you might be doing right now. Now, again, that's why I stay as much out of social media as I can. Now, then all of a sudden it becomes people that think Roisin Murphy should be carried through the streets on their shoulders and others that think should be thrown in jail. And that's a societal problem, unfortunately. But Eamon, just to put it like this, though, what's important, because we talk an awful lot about transgenderism and then puberty blockers. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I would say, you know, like, do you know how many young people at the moment are receiving puberty blockers in Ireland?
Well, like,
would you be surprised if I told you it was less than 15?
I'm not surprised, or I'm not.
I know, but it's just sometimes I think we need to put things into context because these conversations are often had as if puberty blockers are being shoved down the throats of every second child. It's less than 15 children that have gone through assessments and what have you. And listen, it also should be noted that early onset of periods, puberty blockers are often used in that regard. But in terms of gender identity dysmorphia, or however you want to phrase it, it's less than 15 young people in Ireland are on puberty blockers. It's not.
I'm not surprised, really, Greg, by that number, because At the minute, now this is from April, this is in the Irish Independent in April 2023, an article by Eilish O'Regan. It's about this Tavistock clinic, that there still is 72 Irish patients on the waiting list, you know. So I'm not really surprised, you know, by that. But my point too, apart from opinion, I know that I'm sort of getting off the opinion thing, but I do have an issue there with the government, to be perfectly honest, because, I mean, if issues were raised, safeguarding issues of children, shall we say, were raised by consultants and people very high up in the organisation Tavistock, and was emailed on to the HSEs going from 2019, and then, as I said, the independent review commenced in 2020 by Dr. Cass. But, I mean, I would think myself that if there was very serious concerns coming in by, you know, very by doctors and stuff, about, obviously, I know there is no other clinic at the minute to refer these children to, I understand that, but would it not, in my own opinion, I would have thought that the government should have stepped in there in 2019 and sort of ceased referring more patients. But they only stopped ceasing referring patients back last November, from what I've read. After all these interim reports and what have it have come out, you know, and they're all saying the same thing. I haven't read anything of a positive, shall we say, slant on it from the reports. Everything is painted to a very serious error.
And there's also, and I think it's broadly, you know, accepted, and the government accepted too, there is limited evidence. So decisions are being made based on limited evidence. But I think, Eamon, people are having a different conversation now, maybe for a couple of years. I think what it kind of... things accelerated and now maybe they're retreating a little bit as people talk about this more, and people need to talk about these things more, because I think we're all in agreement that we have to make sure that what we're doing is actually the right thing for the child and not what we think is the right thing for the child. But as you say, Eamon, unfortunately in this day and age, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but if you say it publicly, unfortunately now you can be hung, drawn and quartered for it, or you can be a hero.
And I know
I feel for anyone expressing their opinions and getting cancelled, but unfortunately that's the world we live in. And I gave that example of that amazing young athlete. She posted a joyous post this morning, and it's just people slagging her off, sexualizing her. And if I could give my children one piece of advice, it's stay off certain social medias, to be honest. Eamon, thanks
and
for joining us.
Yes, and what you've said there about that athlete is 100% correct too, what you've said. But, like, there's loads of generally speaking, as we all know, like, anybody, like, that's... In general, now, I know I'm generalising, but in general, the media can be quite liberal in their ideas. And generally speaking, the ideas that are being that you're not supposed to have, shall we say, or not the correct opinion, as I mentioned, generally speaking, are more conservative type opinion-based, you know, things. Like, I mean, if I can just get off, I'll just give you another example.
In 30 seconds, Eamon, if you don't mind. And I know we invited you, but...
Yeah. Like, there is a thing going through the Dáil at the minute, safe access zones. And basically what it means is anybody quietly protesting too, not doing anything criminal, within 100 metres of an abortion facility can be criminalised, you know, brought to court. But, like, the Garda Commissioner is on record as saying that there is no need for these laws.
But we don't want to hurt...
But on that one,
I get it's public space, but we don't... Like, whatever people are going through, we don't want to hurt them. Like, why not protest at the Market Square in Letterkenny or outside the Dáil where these decisions are being made rather than people who are going through a healthcare process, whether we agree it or not? Like, why would we want to put people through that? I don't want to hurt anyone.
I appreciate what you're saying, Greg, but these people are, generally speaking, most of them, right, they might have placards or something, but generally speaking, most of them are praying, generally speaking, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, I do.
I mean, they're not preventing any woman from accessing anything, or they're not harassing them, or, like, I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion. I mean, if I want to go down tomorrow morning to, shall we say, Letterkenny Hospital, as long as I'm not obstructing anybody or causing any... I mean, I can really protest about anything I really want.
But if you were going in practising your religion and I gathered up 30 people and every Sunday you landed for Mass, and this is a far less serious issue, and we were praying a different religion or chanting or something with our placards up that you found upsetting.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to church and you're entitled to go to church, and you would not be long going. Would someone not shift those people on? Probably, but maybe you wouldn't, Eamon. And listen, maybe we should tease this out again in another conversation. Yeah. Thank you so much, Eamon. Yeah. I do appreciate it. And of course, because it's that subject, it feels like I'm cutting Eamon off, but I'm not. And we have to take a break because we're pretty much out of time. Okay, the draw has been made, and the winner of a voucher plus a T-shirt and a mug is Susan Eveson in Milford. Congratulations. And the winner of a mug and T-shirt is Mairead McLaughlin in Burnfoot. Thank you, everyone, who took part in the show today. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9. John Breslin's on the way. Here's Daniel.
Oh, I know it's not right reminiscing tonight of days that are gone and returning no more. For the girl I dream of has another man's love, far, far away on a Donegal shore. But why should I care, or she's happy or there? She may have children, she may be wealthy or poor, but I can't help my dream of what might have been if I stayed at home on my Donegal shore. Now it's winter time there, all the trees will be bare, and the rain clouds will darken my native Gidore. But if that girl I need